Greetings and welcome to the MERS Monday podcast. I'm MERS publisher John Roerink. We are joined today by a special guest, Lindsay Huddleston from the Students First Group, Education Reform Group. It's going to take my questions about education. I'm going to take questions from Jacob Kanzler, Craig Mauger, and Lauren Gibbons. With that, Lindsay, talk a little bit. Let's start with, for folks that don't know Students First, how would you characterize the agenda, the goals, and how that group came together?
Great. Thank you for having me here, too. I would describe to someone who does not know Students First, we are a union for students. Every other organization, including teachers, you know, book companies, et cetera, they have a union to represent them. And we are the union for the students, i.e. the name Students First, putting their needs first above all. And we're working really hard here in Michigan to make sure that we're connecting not just with advocacy issues and legislative issues, but really outreach issues, empowering members of the community to come to Lansing, find out who their elected official is, to be able to go and communicate with them and promote the agenda that we feel to the best benefit of students.
Okay. We were talking a little bit before the podcast started. You've been here with this organization about 2 months. Introduce Lindsay Huddleston to our audience.
Yes, I am a proud native Detroiter. I like to say Detroit proper. I grew up on 7 Mile and Evergreen. I often say that the alumni in my sandbox are drug dealers, murderers, and college graduates. So I've experienced everything. And as they say, it takes a village. And with the village support, I was able to transition out of inner city Detroit to go on to work for Governor Granholm and her administration, be recruited by Walmart, a Fortune 1 corporation, and lobby for them throughout the Midwest and have some national responsibilities. In between that time, I did return to my high school to teach and coach basketball, and I wrote a book on athletes and charity. That's been my heart. But then to go on and consult and work with some very prominent school districts. I've been consulting with the Okemos Public School District, so I've been able to see, you know, all different phases of education and where we are and where we need to be. And finally, to be in this role as the new state director has been really an exciting opportunity, but also hard work, because education reform is challenging and complicated, but we all have a role to play in it, and I'm looking to play the best role I can.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your top legislative items for
Correct.
This current session. Where do you want to take it?
Correct. You know, we really want to see success in the teacher evaluation bill. Last year, when I was not here during a lame duck, it kind of stalled. But lame duck has its own challenges, as we all know. Teacher evaluation, we really want to continue to promote teachers. And we also want to put teachers in a position where they can have the best resources to help them succeed. Just as a side note, I can remember being in inner city Detroit and going into my old neighborhood, and it was just, you know, a ghost town. It was like Chernobyl, but it still was people living there. But those same issues roll into the schools. So these teachers need as much support as they can and be able to deal with this new education and new student that's coming there. Also, I would say third grade reading, as we chatted earlier, if the students are not learning to read by third grade, you know, so many challenges can be connected to that and is well documented. And also, Michigan being the only state that still allows a color-coded system to rate schools. You have a beautiful purple shirt on, but if the school was purple, I don't think we would really know how successful that school is. So we look to see that transition happening within a very short amount of time, I may add. You know, the governor and the majority leader in the Senate said that they had a window of about 90 days, and we're coming upon that, and we're hoping that when they come back refreshed from the break, in opening day, but anyway, refreshed from the break, that they can really focus on the task at hand, which is helping our young people move forward educationally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Talk a little bit about where we're at as far as charter schools. You talked about you're going to have some forums coming up looking at that whole issue.
Correct. You know, that is definitely a hot topic. One of the first press releases that went out when I took on this role was to support EdTrust Midwest and their really, you know, powerful study that they did after several years about charter school accountability. And unfortunately, Michigan is one of the only states in the country that really has such a large group of both for-profit charters. Some 80% of our charter schools are for-profit. And not to say that for-profit equates to poor management, but we're doing terribly as it relates to the scores and our students being able to compete. I can say this as a native Detroiter. I love my city, but many charter schools are, you know, doing worse than some of the Detroit public schools, and that's not a good thing. Charter schools were put here 20 years ago to give us autonomy and be innovative and not allow it to be an opportunity for people to shop for the best opportunity for them to promote their failing schools. So we're really trying to bring all the stakeholders together and under the name Finding a Way Forward, really first have a cathartic moment so everyone can say what they want to say and possibly point fingers. But more importantly, Students First wants to be the leader and making sure that all these educational stakeholders are working together to get top-notch charter schools to be replicated and those that are failing to be closed and move on from there.
Okay. You had mentioned the possibility of a single authorizer. How would that work?
You know, very good question. I think we have to look at a great state like Massachusetts that ranks the highest as it relates to education in many cases, and they have a single authorizer, and that single authorizer is the state. Now, this would definitely be upturning the apple cart because of the $1 billion that flows of public dollars and the $30 million that many of these authorizer and management organizations get. A lot of people are committed to that. However, we have to start looking at what can we look at to make sure that there's accountability across the board and there's a standard that we all can look at. Right now, there is no standard. People can do whatever they think is in the best interest, but it still may not be in the best interest of the students. So I think after these charter school accountability conferences, town halls throughout the state, there'll be more discussion, and I think it's going to lead towards the idea of a single authorizer, which I don't think is beyond thought as you look at what the coalition in Detroit has put together as far as what they think would be best, and the fact that the governor says he wants what the coalition is putting together to be a potential model for the state. So no one wants to be the first one to jump out and say, I want to be the single authorizer, i.e. the mayor of Detroit. But I think that's what we're going to have to start looking at if we want to really rein in these charter schools and make sure our students are getting the best education that they deserve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Talk a little bit about, we had the school, the Detroit report that came out.
Correct.
Did you read it? What did you think of it? Highlights?
I did read it, and we were very involved in that. Brian Love, one of our outreach directors, sat there as one of the members of one of the subcommittees and really worked hard to make sure that not only did people leave their issues that they may have had with each organization at the door, but they really looked at how challenging this situation is. We talk about the economic impact. We talk about, you know, where do we go from here? And we have to admit that it's a very controversial and challenging issue to deal with. However, for the first time, we've had all these players come to the table and all agree that we need to do some things to move forward, like making sure there's accountability, making sure that there's some financial relief. And these things are very important. So I think it was a great thing. It's going to be very easy for a group to get together and criticize things about that. But I don't know if there's anything more challenging and more complicated than education reform, specifically in Michigan. And you really want to drill down to it when you talk about Detroit. It's going to be really hard. But I think we have to keep encouraging all those leaders that came to the table and just really be ready to continue this process and know that it's not going to be easy. However, I believe a select few leaders will continue to uphold that flag, and we're going to get some great results out of that.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, just about education choice in general. Where do we fall as a state? What's your assessment of, do we have enough choice in this state as far as education?
You know, I think we have more than enough choice, and someone may say too many choices. However, the key word is we need quality choices, quality. And I don't think it's fair to say that it was a doomed system to begin with. I think that we all were really trying with charter schools some 20 years ago to be able to provide greater opportunities. I talk about my experience in Detroit growing up, and as a teacher, I've taught in charter schools that were better suited for the students based on where they were coming from and where their particular skill set was at that time. However, I think the emphasis just needs to be better quality choices and working together with all these stakeholders that we're looking to bring together for the town halls and whatnot. I think we can really move towards determining what we agree to be a standard of quality and working towards that end realistically.
Okay. Oh, Lindsay, I wanted to go back to third grader reading real quick. You know, a lot of people seem to agree that that's a very important point in a student's life to be able to read at that point. But I want to know, does Students First support kind of a mandatory retention policy for students who aren't proficient at reading at third grade?
Very good question. The key as it relates to retention is that we don't believe in retention without certain resources to help. We don't believe it's fair to the student to retain them and send them back to the same broken system that we feel failed them again with. So unless there are other levers in place, like being able to provide early targeting early on to see where these students may be, and more importantly, just to make sure there are enough resources there to help them with the enrichment that they need. So we do not support retention without certain levers being in place to give them support, because again, we don't want them to go back to the same system that failed them a year prior. So, no.
I've got one about teacher evaluations really quick. Excuse me. Senator Pavlov introduced some teacher evaluation legislation. It was a little bit different than the initial legislation that made it through the House last year, and it had to do, it took out the vendors' names from the legislation. There were a couple other changes made, including a delay. I wondered if you'd taken a look at the legislation he's introduced, hasn't brought forward to committee yet, and whether or not you agree with some of those changes that he made.
Well, I have to take my hat off to Senator Pavlov. He, in my experience working in this capacity in the last few months, he's been very proactive as it relates to putting forth legislation that can really bring all the parties together to be on board. We have talked. There has not been anything formal that he's introduced, but we have looked at some things that he's been talking about, and we have been supportive of him going forward. And again, I give credit to him that times that we may not agree on something, he's been very open in trying to figure out a way that it can really work out. So I want to give hats off to Phil Pavlov, Senator Pavlov, that is, and what he's doing. And from what was introduced in lame duck compared to what's now, I think we're in a position to really work together and get something that's going to be beneficial for the students.
Well, you have this experience working as both a teacher and someone in the public policy realm. This conversation about the future of education in Detroit, is it heading in the right direction? Do you think they're missing some things? I mean, what do you think this needs to focus on?
Sure, that's a very good question. I would definitely say it's heading in the right direction, but I just think that we have to take a step back and know that it's not a perfect process coming out of an imperfect situation. I mean, Detroit, we have national, if not international, recognition for the challenges that we've had in the school systems have seen that. So I think we have to be cautious and know that no matter what suggestions come forward, no matter what the governor agrees to, that there's a great incubating process taking place in Detroit as far as what can potentially be a great model, not just for the state, for the country. So let's not be so critical and say what we don't like, but let's just focus on what we do like and how we can make that better. And I think people need to be reminded of it. These are not full-time professionals who focus strictly on education. These are stakeholders from across the board with a great range of experience, and they're coming to the table trying to deal with a complicated issue, extremely complicated and emotional issue for that matter. So my hat goes off to them and what they're doing, and Students First is trying to be as supportive as possible to the coalition and their recommendations, because we believe that we both see that education reform is needed not yesterday but today. So we support them in the direction they're going in.
Are there any small steps you think can be taken? I mean, any easy wins that you think could be done legislatively?
Sure.
For people?
Well, I mean, and this is completely in the self-interest of Students First, which is in the benefit for students. We need the legislature to move on their agenda right now. They need to come back from break and say, enough time has been taken. Detroit has really worked really hard to put some recommendations in place. There's some legislative opportunities right here in Lansing. Let's move on this now. So the easy wins would be both the chairman of the Education Committee in the House and the Senate, Boehner Gavel, and they move that legislation through post haste, and we move on from there.
Lindsay, did you follow at all the selection of Brian Wiston as the new superintendent of public instruction? Talk a little bit about that. Were you happy with the way the board did the process?
You know, it's very interesting. I have to be totally honest. What I walked into in this role was a very contentious relationship between many members of the legislature and the Michigan Department of Education. I mean, whoa. I mean, I walked into that and quickly saw that there are some issues there. So as a former educator, you know, my hat goes off to the new superintendent. I'm very familiar with the Dearborn Public School System. Being a neighbor to Detroit, I haven't followed in the sense of, you know, each individual, but I know that as a new leader, we're looking to reach out to him, let him know what our agenda is, and hopefully we can find some middle ground to work together, because at the end of the day, everybody wants what's best for the students. At the end of the day, I really believe that, but it's about recognizing that there's so many things that are in place that we have to be able to either identify or overcome, but we're hoping for a great working relationship with the new superintendent, and hopefully that can start as soon as possible.
Okay. Well, great. For our listeners, if they wanted to check out Students First a little bit more, where do they go? Where can
sure.
they find out more information?
Sure. Please, studentsfirst.org / Michigan. You can really get more information about what we're doing specifically here in Michigan. And I'm always available to communicate. My email address is lhuddleston@studentsfirst.org. And we just really want to engage individuals and make sure we're doing what's best for the students in Michigan.
All right. Well, fantastic. And thank you for coming down, Lindsay.
Thank you, guys.
That kind of concludes our MERS Monday podcast. I want to thank the Michigan Press Association for sponsoring this and every MERS Monday podcast. I want to thank Jacob for bringing in cupcakes.
Easter leftovers.
Very significant contribution to starting off a Monday after a long weekend. So, in that case, we'll sign off. Till next week.